Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Thanks for listening to Morning Edition today here on AM 580. Now joining us with our opening commodity market report, Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Jay, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, July wheat opened at 8.82, down 10 and a quarter on the open. September, 8.95, down 5. At the Board of Trade in Chicago, July wheat opened at 8.42, down 9 on the open. September, 8.61, down 7. December, 8.55, make that 8.85. That's 8.85, down 6.5. July, 9.28, down 4 on the open. July corn opened at 7.07, down 2 on the open. September, 7.21, down 1.75. December, 7.37, down 2.5. March of 2009, 7.50, down 2.75. May, 7.53.5, down 3.5. July, 7.55.5, down 4.5. December, a year away, 6.76. And a half down 5.5 on the open. July beans opened at 15.35, down 1.5 on the open. August 15.36, down 2. September 15.15, down 8.5. November 15.01, down 11.5. January of 2009, 15.14, down 12.25. March 15.17, down 13. May 15.20, down 9 on the open. July soybean meal opened at 397, down 520 on the open. August, 397.50, down 320. July soybean oil opened at 66.10, down 10 on the open. August, 66.42, down 11. June live cattle open at 95, up 7.5 on the open. August feeders, 109, down 5. June lean hogs, 73.45, down 2.5. And July bellies, 73.35, up 2.5 on the open. Joining us now on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Run-up in prices, the bull market we're seeing very much supply-driven, the supply side of the market. But we're beginning to have some concern, Mike, as I go to my gas pump and get $4-plus gasoline about whether gas demand will slack. And what happens if that is the case and corn prices continue to rally? What happens to ethanol and what happens longer term?
Not more than one question there. Well, first, Dave, I think the supply side in the corn and beans, definitely the USDA report caused that market side to react. But I think you also are seeing the demand side react as well, not unlike what we saw in rice about a month and a half ago. The demand side realizes that the farmers who are suffering so much with the high waters and the drowned out fields are also the same people that are holding the vast majority of what available crop supply there is from last year. So the demand side now put on notice, hey, if there is more damage being done, and it's clear at this point by the drowned out fields and the flooding that's going on all across the country, that the assessment of how bad it is not even able to be computated yet. So you aren't going to even be able to get a good feel for it by the time we get to the June acreage report, maybe not even until after the July monthly supply and demand report. So it puts the demand side on notice here that they need to get out there and lock up any available supplies that they can get from 07. But again, it goes back to kind of like what we saw in rice. The sellers are not going to be willing at all because most of their revenue this year is not going to be made by the 08 crop sitting in the field. That's been decimated. It's going to be made from whatever leftover they have in 07. So not only did the USDA report hit the supply side of the market, like you accurately portray, it also is bringing in the short-term actual rise in demand. And we're hearing it from our livestock feeders, and it's imperative that those feeders and those users of corn and beans assess their risks right now because this is a dangerous, dangerous time in history if you're an end user of corn and beans and meal. So please do that right away.
Well, if gas demand goes down and corn prices go up, do ethanol producers continue to grind at the rate they're grinding?
No, I think that you will see more consolidation. I think the other thing that goes back to also possibly hurting the idea of your ethanol break-evens is if the dollar starts to climb because of the CPI report, some of the talk that the Fed's going to start to get a little more hawkish now because they're scared about inflation. If the dollar starts to rise, that means you're going to bring in more imported unleaded gas, and that's probably gasoline that's not going to be blended with ethanol. So you've got kind of a triple whammy there. We haven't even talked about natural gas prices. You know, crude oil and natural gas have been going up. I think corn has been up about 21% since the end of May. Natural gas up almost 11%. RBOB unleaded up only about 6%. So clearly that's not keeping up. And the answer to your question is they're probably hitting about a 30 to 40 cent negative margin right now if you're making corn blended ethanol. That does not include the blender's amount of 51 cents that you get back from the government. But if you go any higher in corn and in natural gas and RBOB does not keep up or gasoline demand goes down, then you're probably looking at a situation where not even the 51 cents blender's tax is going to be able to keep you in the black. So it looks like the next 30 to 60 days for both the livestock and especially the ethanol people, it's going to be very, very bad. And that's the bottom line, and we have to address it and look at it at face value and then assess our risk. I mean, we've been talking to clients all week this week on the end user side. There are good September corn vertical calls that you can spread a dollar for 30 cents. There's good August vertical bean calls you can spread a dollar for 30 cents. It's not out of the reach at this point, even with these prices going as high as they have.
Turn your attention to the soybeans, your analysis there, please.
Worse than the corn, Dave. I think that's where the assessment of the yield loss and the acreage loss, and given the fact that USDA lowered the old crop supplies and the strength and the Chinese demand continuing, the upside potential in beans could be even greater than the corn right now. And I think that's not hard to say, especially given that we're down to 125 million bushels of carryover from last year, and those are all going to be very tightly held bushels. That's one thing at least corn has on its side is a fairly decent old crop carryover and also a fairly decent Chinese crop that the USDA gave us an increase on in this week's report. We don't have that in beans, and if you throw on top of that Argentina, then you've got a situation developing that any two bushels on a yield decrease in beans could take, you know, 130 to 140 million bushels off your end stocks for this coming year. So we're looking at a sharply higher bean prices even in relation to the corn market if this assessment of this flooding damage is as bad as it could be.
What's being whispered in the pits up at Chicago is $8 corn and $18 beans. Is that possible?
Yes, it is. It's not hard at all to see that, especially if the weather pattern shifts from cool and wet to hot and dry. There are indications by some private forecasters that's going to be happening here. Our consultant is worried about it, but he's not ready to go out on a limb and say it looks like it's going to happen. But if we turn off hot and dry, those areas that have the good crop stands are also going to have their top-end yield shaved off as well. So it is very possible to see that. I think the other thing is we've heard from Chicago and felt from Chicago the idea that maybe the government's going to come in here and try and do something, and that's kept some potential bulls out of the market. Well, that's probably going to last for maybe a week or 2 weeks, and if they don't see anything from the government or from the policymakers, we suspect there's some, you know, potential longs out there that are going to have to come in here pretty soon.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
My Ed Kieser tells us that a flash flood watch is in effect for northwestern Illinois through early this afternoon. For north, central, and northeastern Illinois, all of central Illinois, and neighboring portions of southern Illinois through this evening. A flash flood watch also in effect for extreme northwestern Indiana through this evening and for all of central and neighboring portions of southern Indiana from this afternoon through late tonight. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.